Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
Hello, my friend. I just wanted to see what you'd do. You're wearing that shirt, so I just wanted to see.
Oh, my God.
I just wanted to see what you would do.
People are going to click on this to hear, and they're going to get a jump scare.
That's right. It's been a while. Where should we begin?
They have so many good songs.
Thunder and Lightning. No?
No, keep okay, going. Well,
the key to doing Scott Stapp is to do a at the end of every note. So you're like, hello, my friend. You gotta bring that in.
Oh, my gosh. I never noticed that.
Yeah. You have to do it for everyone. With arms wide open.
Oh, my gosh.
I cannot hear it now.
Oh, my God. It's
Friday here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks. I don't know why I can't keep the days of the week straight this week. It's driving me crazy. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Fruit Coffeehouse and Churn's Food and Ice Cream to start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville, not a problem. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. I want to let you guys know, a week from today is the Palmer Home Radiothon here in Mississippi. It's a Super Talks, where it's our day to give back. And part of that will be going on at Strange Brew Coffeehouse. On July 16th, 15% of all sales at Starkville Strange Brew, at Churn and Spoon, and online at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, they will donate back to us here at the Palmer Home. So please participate in that and help us out as we raise a lot of money for our great friends at the Palmer Home. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef. I almost said shrimp, but we'll get to that in a minute, I guess.
We're not sponsored by the Mississippi Seafood Council.
Yeah,
although, if the Mississippi Seafood Council is listening and you would like to be a sponsor on Thunder and Lightning, heydad at supertalk.fm.
You just gave everyone your
my email? Like, I got that's what the spam filter's for. If somebody sends me an email that's like inappropriate, that's on them. All right,
laugh and then you delete it.
I would just delete it. I wouldn't even laugh. Probably.
No, I'd laugh.
Yeah. So
depends what it says, though.
That's a good point.
Depends how they got there.
Yeah, I had beef for dinner last night. Is what I was going to say. Those steak tostadas, they were good. They were really good. And you know, a cut of beef. I used a flank steak. That's not a cut that maybe you cook every day, but it's really good. It's inexpensive. I was able to feed the whole family basically for like $40. That's a good deal.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, these days, you're doing all right.
Yeah.
On that one. Make beef the star of your weeknight meals. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State, they've got it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, ridden by Fleet Feet, filled by the half shell. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. What are you looking for, Mississippi State? They've got it at College Corner. My daughter sent me a text here like, doesn't make sense, which is, she's 17, so I guess that makes sense. I guess it makes sense that it doesn't make sense. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, you need to talk to the good folks over at Priority One Bank, bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Well, later in the show, we're going to go to the Allura Modern Wellness Hotline and talk to Adam Cole. Adam Cole, baby, of the Montgomery Advertiser. He covers the Auburn Tigers. That's this week's opponent preview. But we're going to start with this. I don't know how we want to classify this. Because we used two different terms before we started the show. We talked about tough, we talked about more important, however we want to look at it. But who has a stretch that means more than Mississippi State to start their season? The first four games is what I'm looking at. Because I'll say this, I'll just throw it all out there. If State's worse than 3-1 after the first four games, the season is over. All right, we're talking about Jeff Lebby moving on. We're talking about that. You got no shot, because if you're 2-2 and then your next four are Alabama at LSU, Oklahoma at Texas,
yeah,
then you're 2-6, brother. And then, you know, it's going to be a struggle. You're going to have to win your last four games in a row to go to a bowl game, which includes Vanderbilt, Auburn, Tennessee Tech, and, of course, the Egg Bowl. That's going to be incredibly difficult to do. They have to be 3-1 at worst. 4-0 would be optimal under, you know, obviously. So I want to look through the schedule real quick. Let's just kind of breeze through it here. Obviously, with Alabama, no. Now, Alabama has a schedule that's kind of similar to Mississippi State's. They have two non-conference games, but one of them is a power school. I mean, in this day and age of college football, is Minnesota and Florida State, are they that different? I don't know the answer to that.
Like, yeah, that's a good question. Yeah.
But they're at Kentucky. They do host South Carolina. Even under with the pressure DeBoer is under, that feels like a pretty easy 4-0 for them, right?
Yeah, they should go 4-0.
Right. Okay.
I agree.
Arkansas, new coach. There is pressure to finally turn things around, but if they are 2-2 with losses at Utah and Georgia, nobody's going to be jumping out
they'll
of the building.
They'll be fine. Yeah.
Now, I don't agree to that. I don't agree they'll be fine. But at 2-2, they're not. They aren't thinking what's about to happen,
I mean,
is going to happen.
You really? They're yeah. not beating Georgia.
Right.
Utah on the road, second yeah. game as the new head coach. I don't think so.
Yeah. Auburn, Baylor at a neutral site, hosting Southern Miss, Florida at home, Vanderbilt at home. So they get big Auburn crowds probably, because that the Baylor game will be a big Auburn crowd. So they get basically have four home games. Even if they're 2-2, I don't think their fans, although their fans are pretty miserable, I don't think, you know, it's year one. I think they're okay at 2-2.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think they're going to be 2-2. I have them at 3-1.
I also have them at 3-1.
Florida has some tough games, right? Now, the first two games are easy, Florida Atlantic Campbell. At Auburn, and they host Ole Miss. But Summerall in year one, if they were 2-2, I don't think people are just losing their minds. And I don't think they'll be 2-2 either.
I've got them at 4-0.
I do too. I do too.
Summerall's a good coach.
He's a great coach. I would go a step further.
And his first SEC game as a new head coach will be at Auburn,
yeah.
which is not – I mean, easy. Jordan Hare, as long as it's not a night game, that should be pretty
– We know what time that game is, don't we? We should know the window for that, don't we?
Yeah, I guess the first, what, 3 weeks of the season?
Yeah,
out?
Auburn football schedule. You got me curious. 2026 football schedule. Auburn, Florida is – it's already set for 6 o'clock. It is a night game.
Okay, so that one will
be – could be dicey.
Could be tough.
Yeah.
But
well, – yeah.
I mean, he also had two cracks at Ole Miss last year, though.
Yeah.
I mean, with a team that's probably –
it's not the same, yeah.
Well, I was going to say the talent level is just not there, but he actually will have the talent this time around.
Georgia, I'm not even going to entertain the question. I mean, what are we talking about here? Yeah.
Tennessee Kentucky. State, Western Kentucky, Arkansas. Yeah, they're going to win all those.
Kentucky, Youngstown State, Alabama at A&M, South Alabama. They just expect to be 2-2 in that situation.
Yeah, you're not
beating – they're not expecting to win those two games.
You're not winning at Kyle Field, and you're not beating Bama.
I don't think so. All right.
But you'll win the other two.
LSU is interesting, right? Very tough. Clemson, Louisiana Tech, at Ole Miss, Texas A&M. Those are tough games. But Kiffin is still very much year one guy. I think, honestly, if they're 3-1, if they lose to A&M, I don't think people are just losing it, right? Now, if they lose to Ole Miss, people are going to – I think you have some year one heartburn with that, but I think you're okay long term. But now, if they're 1-3, maybe it's something, but I don't expect them to lose.
They're not going to be 1-3.
I don't think they will be. I think they'll be 2-2.
You have them at 2-2?
I don't. I said I don't think they'll be 2-2.
What do you have them at 4-0?
I have them 3-1.
At A&M or A&M?
I think that they beat Ole Miss, and then the emotion of that carries over. And
I've got it the other way, where they lose to Ole Miss.
Yeah, beat A&M. What? There's no winning for them in that game.
No.
Ole Miss, Golding year one.
They've got a tough first four.
They have a tough first four, and I do fear that if they lose the LSU game, that the Florida game becomes a problem for them.
I agree.
Louisville is not a pushover either, but Golding is in year one. So the pressure not really, not as much.
But you got to think what they've done the last few years. They want to, I don't know, I don't want to say playoff or bust for them, but
they have high expectations.
They've been up there the last few years. If Golding is down, then, you know, people will probably start rumbling a little bit.
How'd that go again? Okay. We'll come back to State. Missouri, I mean, Pine Bluff, Kansas, Troy, no. Not the same.
No, it's a joke schedule.
Yeah. Oklahoma, UTEP at Michigan, New Mexico at Georgia.
Sneaky.
I think they would expect to be 3-1 in that. Like, I think they would be happy to split
between
Michigan
they'd be happy if they're 3-1 after
Yeah, but
that.
if they're 2-2, I don't think people are losing their minds. They're like, we went on the road to play two top 10 teams.
They're not going to beat Michigan on the road, and they're definitely
we'll
not going
see.
to beat Georgia.
I didn't think they were going to beat Michigan last year at home, and they did. So,
Big House is different, man.
South Carolina, I think they expect to be 3-1. They do have Mississippi State week three. The first two are the easy non-cons, and then they're at Alabama. If they're 2-2, their fans are probably a little worried. If they lose the state, they're going to be like, what's going on here? Tennessee.
That's a big game for both of them.
Tennessee has an interesting first four. Furman at Georgia Tech, Kennesaw State, Texas. If they're 3-1, nobody cares. If they're 2-2, people are probably poking at Heupel a little bit. Fair?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Heupel's pretty good. They're in a year where the last 2 years.
It's a transition year for
them.
Well,
last
for sure.
year they got thrown a curveball.
They did.
And this year they have young.
They're bouncing back.
Have
I think
they even announced their starter yet?
They haven't.
Two guys,
but I think it's gonna be
a true
freshman. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'd give them some slack.
Yeah.
If they're 3-1, they're fine.
Texas is interesting. I think Texas would expect to be 3-1 at worst, but if they lose to Ohio State, their fans are going to be like, what are we doing? Why are we not able to beat this team?
I think they're going to lose to Ohio State.
I don't have them losing that game.
Yeah.
Just for future reference.
You
A&M has Missouri State, Arizona State, Kentucky at LSU, they would expect to be 3-1 at worst.
Yeah.
They're fine. And then Vandy, I mean, that game with NC State is very big, obviously. But
why do you say that?
Well, because it tells us what that team is.
Okay.
You know, 2 years ago when they beat Virginia Tech, we were like, wait, what's going on? Vandy beat Virginia Tech? Are they good? Same thing here, right? They're going to be 2-0 when they play that game. If they beat NC State at home, you're like, okay, that program has sustainability. And if they lose, it's going to be like, okay, well, Vandy's kind of going back to where they were. Then you have Mississippi State. ULM is what it is. At Minnesota, at South Carolina, home against Missouri. And they're the only team to me that their season is defined by those first four games. Like, in some ways, obviously, if you're 4-0 or if you're 0-4, your season is starting to figure itself out, right? But there are some teams in here that could be 2-2, 3-1, and you know, their season is still able to play out. For State, like I said, anything 2-2 in the season is over. You're probably going 4-8. You're probably looking at a new head.
I just look at the next four games and
you're
going
to go from 2-2 to 2. You would go from 2-2 to 2-6. I'll just say this. Let's play odds maker. Mississippi State hosting Alabama as we sit here today. Alabama is probably somewhere between a 14 and a 17 point favorite. At LSU, probably 17 to 20. Oklahoma at home, probably 14 to 17.
You think?
Yeah. Okay, they were in the college football playoff last year.
I understand, but
I mean, you may like them or not, they won 9 games.
Yeah.
And then at Texas, you're probably closer to like a 21 to 24 point underdog.
I think Oklahoma is the best chance they have in all four of those games.
Well, I absolutely agree with you on that. Absolutely agree.
Yeah.
But if they're 4-0, it's kind of a weird thing, right? They could go 4-0 and then be 4-4, and you can't really be too mad. It's almost like it was last year. They were 4-0 and then they were 4-4.
Yeah.
And as long as it would be frustrating if those games played out the same way. Like if you're close, you had a chance to beat Alabama in the fourth quarter and you couldn't do it, right?
Oh.
And then you go to LSU.
Overtime game.
Well, and I was going to say like that might be like the Texas A&M game where they just take control and you just don't win, right? Then Oklahoma maybe is like the Florida game. You had a chance to win and you blow it. And then at Texas could be the same thing as Texas was a year ago. We had a chance. And so it would be incredibly frustrating. But if you were 4-0 with two conference wins and a win at Minnesota, you're going to feel really good about those last four games. You're going to say, well,
they'll make a bowl game because they have Tennessee Tech then.
Right, and then they'll win one other game. And you would probably feel really good about their chances to win maybe two.
Two Vanderbilt and Auburn.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, if State were 4-0 and then went to 4-4, I would tell you they would probably finish 7-5.
Yeah.
They might lose the Egg Bowl. And even then, on a three-game winning streak, depending on what Ole Miss is, you might have a little momentum. I don't know. I would never say that that's a done deal.
No, the Egg Bowl is always close.
So State's first four games to me, when I look at the conference as a whole, are the most I don't know. Toughest isn't the right word because some teams you're playing, you're not playing.
Most important.
You're not playing Georgia. You're not playing Texas in there. You're not playing out. You know, but they are more important to state season than they are to anybody else's. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely, because if those go poorly, the season could go off the rails, like you said. You know, maybe Lebby, his chances are gone. You know, maybe he's bringing someone else, and then you know when a head coach leaves, then you know a bunch of recruiting stuff and people decommit, and then it all kind of goes downhill, and then you're in a worse spot than you were to begin with. I don't know if they'd fire Lebby after that if they go 2-2. I don't think they would, but it would be really hard to recover, and they would have to win. They'd have to win at least one of the next four, but those games are much harder than the first four.
Yeah, if they were 2-2, if they were 3-5 going into the final four, you would at least have some hope that they could maybe get to 6-6.
Yeah,
but 2-2, it's just the season's just over. I'll be honest with you.
Minnesota game, man.
At 2-2, and then they play Alabama. Right? You lose to Alabama, and you're 2-3, and then you got the bye week. I'm not wholly shocked if they pull the plug there.
On October 10th?
Yeah.
Or that
just,
week?
Just say, you know what? Interim coach Philip Montgomery, and we'll figure it out at the end of the year. And I don't know. But by that same token,
it's like a really early time to can your coach, though.
At that point, if you're 2-2, Lebby's record is 9-20, 9-21. If you're 2-3. You're 9-21. Your next three games are at LSU, Oklahoma, at Texas. So you're probably going to be 9-24. Even if you went out from there, your final record is 13-24. I mean, at some point, it's about being a winner or being a loser.
Yeah.
And you have to make these decisions. I don't know that any team – I don't know all the schedules, obviously.
Well, when you were talking to me before the show
mm-hmm.
about this idea of kind of what we were going to talk about, the first thing that came to my mind was South Carolina with Shane Beamer.
That would be a good example,
But they have Kent State. They've got Townsend, Mississippi State, and Alabama. You could argue that that Mississippi State game versus South Carolina is going to be a make or break for either team that loses. Mm-hmm. I don't think either coach is going to get fired after that game, but looking at South Carolina's schedule, they're at Alabama the next week, home against Kentucky, at Florida. They still have to go at Oklahoma, A&M they have to play, and Georgia, and Clemson away.
Yeah.
I mean, that season could also go off the rails if they lose that game. There's not many gimmies or even games that you feel like either of these teams, like,
what do you
penciled in will be, like, at the finish line for whether they win or lose.
What do you think the confidence level for South Carolina fan is in the Mississippi State game?
That's a great question. Hi.
I agree.
They have one SEC win with Lebby as head coach.
I think,
and it's against a.
I think South Carolina fans are looking at that going, we're playing them at home.
Probably also didn't pay attention, like, you know, Arnett's here.
Yeah.
They probably just hear new quarterback Kamari Taylor hasn't played that much.
Yeah.
They don't know.
The average South Carolina fan doesn't know that.
They're pretty confident.
Whereas I would say the average Mississippi State fan is probably their confidence is low.
In South Carolina?
That they're going to beat South Carolina. The average Mississippi State
fan. Yeah. Well, average Mississippi State fan has seen.
They've seen some things, man.
A lot of bad stuff.
I wouldn't recommend it.
They saw O'Connor get swept for the first time. Back-to-back home weekends ever this year. It's a good team.
They've seen some things.
So they've seen some stuff.
So I just look at these first four games. If you could tell me right now, if you could look in the future and tell me what State's record is on September the 27th, I'll tell you everything you want to know about Jeff Lebby and his future at Mississippi State.
We don't want to say what we have at that point because that's the end.
No, we'll save it. Yeah, that's the last one. But that's four.
I'm telling you, out of these four games for Mississippi State, I think the at Minnesota one is going to be the most telling because you're going against a team, Power Four school. You're on the road. Not to mention, it's not like you're on the road at Alabama. That's 90 minutes away. You are across the dang country.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing a team you probably – I don't even know if they've ever played. If they have, it's probably been a while.
Yeah, it's been – if they've ever played, it's back in the 40s.
It's not SEC style. Like, these are big boys live in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
They got big linemen.
Yeah.
Not that the SEC doesn't. I'm not saying
that. Right, but that, especially that Wisconsin, Minnesota area. Those
they
are
feed them boys nice.
Yeah, yeah.
They can pound a lot of beer, you know.
You betcha.
But Minnesota, I think that game's going to be telling because it'll be Kamario Taylor's – what?
It feels like athletically State should dominate that game. Like they should just be better athletes.
You would think.
And that's my point.
It's still a Big Ten team, though.
Well, regardless of Big Ten, they're just they're a Power Four team.
Yeah.
And Mississippi State under Jeff Lebby has two Power Four wins in 2 years.
That's right. Oh my God.
Arizona State
and Arkansas.
That's it. Yeah. Last year.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the year before that, they beat UMass and Eastern Kentucky.
That's getting over that hump. Also, it's an away game too.
It's incredible, incredibly.
That I honestly
under the radar, undercovered moment for SEC football. Like that is Mississippi State and Jeff Lebby are going to turn a corner and get back to where they want to be. They have to go to Minnesota and win.
That'll tell us a lot about what to expect at South Carolina too. Back to back road games. You know how Camario plays again. Yeah.
If he goes up there and he's just he looks like a million bucks, you're going to feel great about.
You're
going to
feel great about going, and they will probably
and their view of it goes, wait a minute, who's this guy?
Yeah,
kind of thing. Whereas if you go up there and you lose to South Carolina or you lose to Minnesota, nobody on planet Earth is going to think you're going to South Carolina. It's the state season is going to be completely defined by these first 4 weeks. Yeah. Also, don't forget we've talked. I think we've mentioned before. The Missouri game.
I was just about to bring that up. That's not a cakewalk. They got their butt beat last year.
It's not only a cakewalk, but
Missouri.
Mississippi State has not won an SEC home game since November of 2022.
They haven't won a home game?
And a home SEC game since November of 2022. They beat Auburn.
So they haven't
Leach's
won.
Last season.
They haven't won an SEC home game since I was a sophomore in college?
They've only won two SEC games in the last 3 years. Both of those were at Arkansas.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's the weight of that as well, because if you don't beat Missouri, your next SEC home game is Alabama, then the next one after that is Oklahoma.
Well, how do you keep getting these guys to come back and watch SEC games? Your fans, your alumni.
Great question.
When they keep losing.
I don't envy the task that Zach Selman has if that happens. So
that Missouri game completely changes whether Hardy plays or not.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I see what you're saying.
I mean, he's one of the best players in
If Hardy is good to go in that game, I mean, look at what he did at Mississippi State last year. Now I expect State to be much, much improved defensively.
I agree.
The difference of having the guy who is at worst the second best running back maybe in college football.
I think the SEC's got the top two.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. What's crazy is that Lacy transferred from Missouri.
Yeah, that is
so
crazy.
Could have had them both.
Oh, my God.
Of course, by the same token, Ole Miss could have had them both. I think Hardy was interested in going to Ole Miss.
Oh, because he's a Mississippi guy.
Kid, yeah. So, funny how.
What JUCO did he go to before?
He didn't go to JUCO. He transferred from ULM. Is that right? That's right.
Ahmad Hardy? I'm pretty sure he was a JUCO guy, I feel like. No, he's definitely a JUCO guy.
Oh, he's definitely one. Let's see. Ahmad Hardy. He did play at ULM. No, he went to Lawrence County, then he went to ULM.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I knew.
I don't know. Someone told me he's a JUCO guy. I don't know. I thought he was, too.
You know, maybe he just you listen to your old friend Brian every now and then.
Yeah, I listen to my old friend.
I am old. I know. You can't get me by saying old, brother.
I just said what you told me.
I'm just saying you're trying to make it sound like being old.
I'm not trying to do anything.
All right? It's I'm just saying. All right. Yeah, so I guess our thesis here, our hypothesis would be better win three of those first four, Jeff Lebby. Or it's going to be a tough road to hoe for Mississippi State. Nobody in the conference, in my opinion, has their season completely defined by the first four games the way Mississippi State does. So, all right, speaking of one of those games on the back end, let's go ahead and do an opponent preview. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the older brother. Let's talk for a second about the older brother. Oh, those sandwiches are delicious. They will, however, you got to be careful because they are so loaded. They are so loaded. You get like a shrimp po' boy. That thing is loaded up with shrimp and pickles and lettuce and remoulade sauce. You take a bite of that thing, might fly all over you. You might have to go home and change shirts and pants. Isn't that right, Carlo?
I hate to say it, but yeah, it's like those shrimp were still alive and they want to get out of there. I had to put...
They were fresh!
I had to put an egregious amount of stain remover on both my polo and my shorts.
Was it worth it for that delicious sandwich?
Oh, it was a great sandwich.
So
I just spilled half it on me.
Yeah.
Looked like a clown. This guy next to us was like, oh, you guys do a great job of the show as I'm wiping myself down.
Covered in remoulade sauce. Like, unbelievable.
Thanks, man.
So, So be careful when you eat at the older brother. Yeah, I guess everything. Maybe they should give you a bib or like a warning. You got to sign a waiver. We're not responsible for your dry cleaning. I don't know.
I'm gonna wear an apron next time I go in there.
On the other hand, wore a white shirt and got away scot-free. Yeah. So I'm pretty pleased with that. Two Brother Smoke Meats and the older brother here in Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you're looking for a new copier, printer, new computers, new laptops, whatever it is, my friends at Advantage Business Systems can get you taken care of. They've been doing business for 50 years. They know how to take care of their customers. They know what you're looking for, and they know how to make sure you keep coming back each and every time you need to buy business technology. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business.
Maroon and go.
I know.
You said...
I didn't say anything. I said nothing.
I heard Scruggs.
Did you?
In your mouth.
I was going to say, scrub that shirt.
I did.
You know, when you get home, you got to get your laundry done. Yeah, I had to go to my mom's to do my laundry last night. Our washer stopped working. That was something. Hanging out with my mom for like 3.5 hours. Watching the Golden Girls. It was fantastic.
Okay.
So, Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Looking for great Mississippi State gear? Go see our friends over at Maroon & Co. Everything you're looking for, maroon and white. Nobody with a bigger, better, wider selection in the city of Starkville, the Golden Triangle, than all the good folks over at Maroon & Co. Whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, they have it. They'll get you set for football season, basketball season, baseball season, whatever, at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Or you go to your next Mississippi State game before you come to Starkville for any reason. You need to go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. It's not just a slogan at Scruggs. It really is the way they do business. Whatever you do around the house, Scruggs has the products that makes those jobs easier to do. And if what you do around the house involves keeping your yard looking tip-top, well, then a trip to Scruggs is a must. They are the John Deere dealer here in North Mississippi that you need to know. So if you're looking for John Deere zero-turn mowers, commercial mowers, compact tractors, or gators, go see our friends over at Scruggs. Talk to the credit department. They're going to set you up with a fantastic deal and get you into that John Deere green that you want to be in. Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber is here for you. They can help you manage your land, manage your timber, manage your resources with a quick phone call. And if you're trying to buy or sell land, they can certainly help with that as well. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a phone call today. 601-442-9888 or visit them online, g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. Earlier this week, I caught up with Adam Cole from the... What?
Nothing.
You gave me a look.
I'm just sitting here, man.
I don't know. I don't know about you sometimes.
Okay.
From the Montgomery Advertiser, he covers the Auburn Tigers for this week's opponent preview. You're doing it again.
I just gave you that look. That was on purpose. Keep going.
Folks. I'm not too sure about the young fellow over here sometimes. Okay. I don't know about him. I don't know what's going on in his brain sometimes. Anyway, talk to Adam about Auburn, another first-year head coach. I've talked about this before, you know, with Auburn. The longest streak of losing seasons in the SEC right now, the Auburn Tigers.
How many?
They haven't had a winning season since 2020. Finished the year with more wins than losses since 2020.
Wow.
That's, you know, two different head coaches, and now – the Alex Golish, I believe is how you pronounce it, Golish, Comrade Golish over there.
Have you seen the videos of Brown throwing the ball, Bynum Brown? So they're interesting.
Yeah, we talk about that.
They're interesting.
All of our interviews here on the show brought to you by our friends over at Allura Modern Wellness, who again welcome you to come check out the Escape Robotic Massage. If you are looking for an interesting and therapeutic massage without all the, you know, the awkwardness of a massage. Sometimes, you know, like, I don't know about that. I get it, man. I was one of those people. This takes that away from you. And it's a great, relaxing experience. You should definitely go check it out. Among the many services that Allura Modern Wellness offers in terms of recovery, stress relief, relaxation, go see my friends at Allura Modern Wellness today. Visit them online, AlluraModernWellness.com. You can book all of your services right there online, or you can call them at 662-268-268. 9255. Laura Modern Wellness brings you this interview with Adam Cole of the Montgomery Advertiser. The Auburn Tigers are back on the Mississippi State schedule after a two-season absence. That means Adam Cole is back on the back on Thunder and Lightning after an absence of his own. And Adam, I don't know that I've, you know, I use that website, Our Lads. I'm sure a lot of us in our business use it. They have these depth charts. I've never seen a depth chart like this that is just transfer, 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 almost all the way down on the offensive side of the ball. The thought process of we're going to take what wasn't the best team in the American and we're going to transfer them all to the SEC. What do you think about that? What is year one going to look like for Auburn?
Really, like the buzzwords that came around all spring were continuity and familiarity. And you know, it already feels like I'm beating a dead horse using those words. We've talked about them so much, but I think that's really going to be kind of the theme of this team. I mean, that is the element that should take this team as far as it can go in theory. Is the fact that you have retained a defensive coordinator and a lot of personnel, and you're sticking with a defensive philosophy while bringing in this whole new concept on the other side of the ball. But, you know, of the, I think, 13 South Florida transfers they brought in, 11 of them were on offense. You've got the same play callers. Like I like the concept I've seen so far. Yeah, obviously rubber's got to hit the road at some point, and it will, in Atlanta against Baylor. But you know, it's interesting. It's very modern in that sense, right? You weren't able to do this sort of thing a decade ago, but we'll see how far it takes them. But you like what you see, and it's hard to complain when the quarterback that you're able to bring in is a guy like Byron Brown too. So
let's talk about Brown. You know, some of the highlight videos that made the rounds were not exactly flattering to him, but this is a guy, I've watched him play college football. I know he can move the football. I know he's a good athlete. He's got a good arm on him. What kind of step forward can he take here in his first year in the SEC? Can he be even better than he was? That's a tough ask, but can he be better than he was at South Florida?
I think he can be better than he was at South Florida. And I think really the biggest reason that did, you know, anybody can or should hold that belief after the spring is like what we came away with from him. I mean, obviously, like the things that, you know, I guess stick out on social media is the, you know, the stuff about his throwing motion. And, you know, he admittedly did not have a banner showing in the spring game, but also like, I don't know. My counter argument to that is, for one, it's the spring game. You know, those things don't always work out in the preseason, but at the same time too, like, the biggest thing that did get talked about with him and his play throughout the spring was that you're not able to see him peak, because to see him at full velocity, like the pads have got to be on and it's got to be full go, and he's got to be barreling dudes over and running through and around guys. You know, it's another one where Auburn's not going to see it until the season shows up, but I think he can be better, because the biggest thing that we kept coming back to was that he is more settled in this offense than he ever has been. And again, that familiarity and continuity in theory should go a long way. But I think, you know, if Auburn is able to hit its stride and really come out punching opponents in the mouth, like I think he could. I think he could take another leap this year in Auburn.
For those of us who, you know, and I'm not one of them, I guess, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but like those people who didn't watch a lot of South Florida last year, what is the Alex Golish offense?
And I will admit, I am one of those people who did not watch it last year. You know,
they weren't first on my viewing list or anything, but I caught some action. Yeah,
they're interesting to read up on, though. I think the biggest thing with them that just weaves throughout all of it is tempo. You know, and one thing that I've thought about it a little bit, but I put it in that same tally of I'm not going to be able to see this until they start playing. Mm-hmm. Some people have been concerned with like, is a fast-tempoed offense going to have an impact on this defense? You know, especially if they're not scoring. And I do wonder about that. I mean, quite frankly, saw that a lot with Hugh Freeze the last 3 years. But tempo is the biggest thing here. I think it weaves it all together. And what's been really interesting, I haven't been able to go back and read up on the preseason last year for South Florida, but what's been preached a lot with this particular offense and this group of personnel is the run game. You bring back Jeremiah Cobb, you go get One of your South Florida transfers is their leading running back from last year, not including their leading rusher, Byron Brown. Bryson Washington, leading running back at Baylor. Tay Meadows, leading running back at Troy. And now you've got four guys who were, the starters at their respective spots last year in that room. And so I'm curious to see how the depth chart shakes out for it all, but I really think Auburn's going to lean super, super, super heavy on the run this year.
On the other side of the ball, a lot of experience coming back. Obviously, DJ Durkin returning to Auburn was a big deal. They wanted to keep him on staff, and you mentioned continuity earlier. That was a good way of helping that out as well. Couple of good transfers there. I know Cody Sigler and Deshaun Womack were highly sought after in the SEC. This feels like an Auburn defense that can be really, really good.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see. Like, I need to go back and digest it as it is after last fall. But looking at DJ Durkin's like history, at least statistically, of his defenses in his time as an SEC coordinator, like had some really good moments at Florida. But his time at Ole Miss, A&M, like they were capable defenses. They weren't necessarily the best in the league. And his Auburn defenses, on the whole, for a lot of last season, I mean, Auburn was one of the better scoring and run defenses in the country. Kind of dipped when he had to take on the interim duties. But I really think this is maybe his best chance yet for a defense to really take that leap and go into that next echelon. And you mentioned Cody Sigler. He was probably the most interesting transfer name in the spring beyond the South Florida guys. Because you're talking about a guy who spent 2 years at Division II West Alabama, and managed to translate that to the Sun Belt. I would say was maybe even more productive at the Sun Belt level than D2. And now you're looking for another leap, but was very highly thought of. Seems to have taken on sort of a leadership role in that defensive line room. But no, you lose some pieces like a Keldrick Falk, but if you're Cody Sigler's and Deshaun Womack's can translate, that would be vital.
Normally, I ask this question. I ask, give me a newcomer to keep an eye on for whatever team I'm talking about. But with this Auburn team, I feel like I need to change that question over. And I want to ask you, who's a veteran? Who's somebody that Auburn brought back that you think could be a huge key for them this year?
Well, I'll do one on both sides of the ball,
Great.
and I'll start with offense because defense is there's a lot of candidates to me for that on defense. When I look at offense, I think the one name that might surprise us by the end of the year is Omar Mabson at running back. And you're already talking about a littered room, but this was a guy who reclassified, moved up a year and joined the team last year. He should be a true freshman this season. And you come out of spring ball, and the biggest knock on him for not getting more reps in SEC play last year was Hugh Freeze said that they needed guys who were fleshed out in pass protection. And after this spring, as we're getting assessments of all these positions, the guy who was best in pass protection in Auburn's running back room was Mabson. I know that's not the be all end all, but I think that's a pretty healthy example of, okay, like if this guy's developing at the rate he can, Auburn's had a lot of success with like low to the ground, low center of gravity running backs, Jarquez Hunter, Tank Bigsby. I think Omar Mabson's next up. And if it's not this year, I think it'll be the year after. But if it is this year, I'm not going to be surprised. On the defensive side, there are so dang many. I really think that Rashawn Pleasant is that's a guy who maybe is going to pop and link it up to another level this year. He transferred in from Tulane last year, was an All-American return man. He had a really big game against Arkansas. I think he had like two interceptions. Him and then two on the defensive line at edge, Jared Smith, former really touted recruit, rising sophomore. I think he could kind of be their next big edge rusher. And then on the defensive line, I think Dallas Walker is one to watch too. Him and Chris Murray were a couple guys they retained by waiver. Not a lot of production, but a lot of experience. And I wonder if that gives them sort of an edge to get ahead. So there's a few, but those are kind of the names that jump out to me.
When we look about this game, Mississippi State and Auburn, that's been a very competitive series over the last, couple of decades. Mullen had some success against them. Morehead beat them once. Leach beat them a couple of times. They've been off the schedule now. If there's one thing I know, beating Alabama and Georgia is obviously very key to being successful as the head coach at Auburn. But if you can't beat Mississippi State on the regular, it doesn't lead yourself to think you could do those things either. How important is this game going to be for the Auburn Tigers when we get into the first few weeks there of November?
I think on principle alone, like that's been the most fascinating part of covering SEC football year in, year out, is realizing like November, like sometimes it just marches to a different beat than the rest of the year. It's obviously more high stakes, more imperative, you know, if you're trying to get bowl eligibility, fighting for a playoff spot, whatever that might be. So it's going to be really important. And you know, like that's only going to get ratcheted up depending on how the year goes, because things aren't going well. Like you said, like you got to beat Mississippi State. You know, like if you're at Auburn, that's usually one of those things that is considered you know, non-negotiable in that way. But you know, if things are going well, you know, if you are trying to get over that hump and over that baseline for the whole year for this team, which is 6 wins in a bowl game, you've been losing. Just take the first step right now. But you know, could be that important. It maybe you fool around and do really well, and you're fighting for a playoff spot. But yeah, it'll be absolutely massive, especially considering like I think one less bye week this year is gonna. I'm intrigued to see the impact of that. And usually around this time of year, you get a pause, and now you don't. So it'll be really important. I'm trying to remember. I think the last time they went to Starkville was that an overtime or two overtime game?
It was at least one. I remember the game.
Yeah, and it was Cadillac Williams' first, I
First game
think,
as the
first
intro.
game, and they had to effectively build that offense in a cave over the course of like 36 hours. It was crazy. I mean, there are photos of Will Friend like just scribbling on a whiteboard on the sideline at that game. But no, definitely, you know, if it can follow up that, it'll be a fun game, that's for sure.
A must-win game for both teams if they want to be postseason teams. I would absolutely say that. Adam Cole, Montgomery Advertiser, man, really appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I feel like you're, and the Auburn fans aren't going to want to hear this. I feel like Golish is going to be good eventually. Like I think he's a good coach. You know, I like the way he runs offense. I like the aggressiveness, the tempo. But the idea of I'm going to transfer basically everybody from this third or fourth best American conference team to the SEC and just be good. I don't know about that. I don't know that's going to work in year one. So I could see them struggling in year one. And that makes what we were just talking about, right? State's first four games, obviously huge. Their last four games are huge too, because it can completely change the perception of Jeff Lebby. If Jeff Lebby could be 4-0, even if he's 4-4, if he found his way to 7 wins, I think everybody gets on board with Jeff Lebby.
I agree.
And so that makes Auburn a must-win game for him. But on the other side of that coin, Auburn, you know, and Golish, that's a program, as I told Adam, they don't want to lose to Mississippi State. Auburn fans see Mississippi State on the schedule, they assume we're going to beat that team. So when you lose, those are precious losses. When you're already playing Alabama and Georgia every year, you don't have a lot of room to negotiate on your SEC schedule. This is a massive game for these two teams when we get to November.
I think so too, and it's Jeff Lebby versus a first-year head coach,
That's
which
another thing,
I don't know if that's happened yet. I mean, Bobby Petrino, but he was not even he's well over a
Yeah, no,
first-year.
that's not a first-year head coach.
Well,
He was an interim
interim. That's
anyway.
what I'm more saying.
So,
I don't know if he's played a first-year head coach. Now, granted, he's getting them what in November,
Yeah, so
so
it's
he'll have a little experience. But this is. People view Jeff Lebby right now as kind of unproven and kind of on the edge just because of the SEC record, the Power Four record from outside. Like you said, Auburn fans see that a game on schedule and they're like, okay, this is an SEC game we can win. So they're confident going in, but the Mississippi State should be just as confident because they're going against a program that is a glorified, what, Conference USA third place team or something.
Some
Like,
of that, yeah.
so both teams are going to be confident going into this game. I think it's massive because this could be the difference between State going to a bowl game and them not. Auburn also as well. I mean, I don't know how their season's going to go. I have to look at their
Yeah.
schedule,
Well,
but
if they lose to Mississippi State, there was a stretch there from like 2014 or 2015 to 2020 where the winner of the State Auburn game went to a bowl and the loser didn't, basically.
I mean, you could definitely see that this year. Let me look at Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're a team that, if you're an Auburn team or your Mississippi State team that you're thinking, hey, 6 or 7 wins is probably the ceiling, then giving one away is not the way to get to a bowl game. You got to win this game.
I've got Auburn at 5-7.
I do too.
And I'm not going to say the state result, but I've got them at 5-7.
Well, we've already said it.
Have we?
Yeah, because we've done Auburn.
Oh, yeah. I have them losing Mississippi
I do
State.
too.
So, like I was just saying, this could be the difference between a bowl and not. I mean, 5-7 in my prediction is in the difference there. And that was months before we even have this conversation.
Yeah. If we're wrong about that prediction and Auburn wins the game, that we've got them going to
I
a
mean,
bowl game.
in state could very well not, based on just how, dude,
Exactly.
that 4-game stretch for Mississippi State in the middle is just brutal, man.
It's weird how the schedule, it's almost like
Like,
it's on purpose.
you couldn't
It's like,
space out those games?
exactly. You couldn't play LSU week 3. Well, I guess not, but that's when they play Ole Miss. But you see what I'm saying? Could have figured it out.
Yeah.
And yeah, that happened a couple of years ago to State after their first 4 games of the season a few years ago, Lebby's first year. Yeah, and not that they were a good team, and they obviously lost to Toledo, right? But they had Eastern Kentucky and then Arizona State, Toledo, and then a Florida team that wasn't very good, right? But then the next 4 were A&M at Georgia, at Texas, at Georgia. I mean, it's
That
just
that's when I
brutal.
started watching, because that's when I was interviewing
It's
for
like
the
this
job. It
brutal.
was
Like,
tough, but
break it up a little, guys.
I think Auburn is gonna have, yeah, that's gonna be a make or break game. They've got a for SEC schedules,
I would
it
go
doesn't
spend.
look that tough.
Right, but well, they do have Alabama and Georgia, though.
Yeah, but they also have, Vanderbilt
It's.
and Arkansas.
I'll say it right here: the loser of Alabama of Auburn, Mississippi State is not going to a bowl.
I completely agree.
There we go. All right, tomorrow's show. Back to school for this young man over here. We'll talk about cornerbacks. It's going to be the most controversial, explosive of our lessons
Can't
on
wait till you
tomorrow's show.
say your first honorable mention with confidence, and someone on Twitter just goes,
Just destroys me.
"Hey, that doesn't know anything."
I know nothing, so that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Carla Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.